chance of fall, chance of showers in the afternoon.
And ladies and gentlemen, chance of showers in the afternoon. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host here for the second hour of the French Connection. It's great to have you here on this Friday with me. My guest today, Ted Pike, a reverend friend and a hard worker for the truth. We've been discussing a very important audio file that is available on my website and other places on the Internet by a man named Benjamin Friedman. He was an insider for many of this past century's most important decisions. And the one that where we are right now in this story is we're in the 1930s after Germany had literally been destroyed by a bad agreement, a bad armistice after losing in the First World War, an economic meltdown caused by a boycott instituted by Zionists. And now we're watching the rise of a Nazi government, a national socialist government headed by Hitler. But interestingly, Ted, he does not discuss that the Max Warburg fortune was one of his biggest financial backers. And we don't get that from Mr. Friedman. It's one of the big holes in his story. What do you think?
Yes, I'm not intimately familiar with that. I am intimately familiar, however, with the role of Felix and Paul Warburg in financing Lenin and Trotsky. And they literally loaded them down with gold and German railways and sent them east into Russia to mastermind the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Warburgs in Germany and Hamburg were joined by Jacob Schiff of Kühn & Loeb Company, which is now Chase Manhattan Bank, who massively financed these Jewish revolutionaries, the English Rothschilds also. There was a concerted effort by high Jewish finance to bring down the Tsar. And it became clear, of course, that Germany was not going to do it in the First World War. But they then turned to Jews in New York, international Jews throughout the world, to have a literal migration to Russia to begin to organize and agitate the Navy, the Army, the peasants, and so on, to create what was ostensibly a proletarian uprising, but actually was part of a very, very moneyed and well-supported effort coming from international Jewry.
Yeah, and what we are talking about, though, is not all Jews, because I do have allies that have actually been fighting the Zionist threat in the Jewish community for over 100 years.
Yes.
And they're allies you can see on my site. So, but we are talking specifically here about Zionist Jews whose goal, and what it must be said, and their helpers, because the Harriman fortune working with Papa Bush, a very important figure in this, was also clandestinely financing Mr. Hitler's rise to power along with the rest. So what we need to understand here is that the Zionists have their useful idiots as well, as I like to refer to them. However, where we are right now is that this man describes in no uncertain terms how World War II was completely propagated and promoted by these people behind the scenes. And then, when it erupted into a massive war where 57 million people died, and interestingly enough, the entire Russian losses in that war were at 27 million alone, it's interesting that he doesn't speak about it in painful terms, interestingly. I don't hear any regret in his voice. Although I hear the facts coming out, I remember listening to this saying to myself, these are some of the most heinous acts of mankind's history, and yet I don't hear any shame in his voice.
Uh-huh. Well, I actually haven't heard the audio record of his speech in 1961. I have gone through his actual text, so I wouldn't be able to pick up on any nuances like that. I do think that the whole discourse, however, is a bombshell, a revelation of what really went on, the real dynamics of what has made the 20th century tick as far as international affairs going exactly the way these international Bolshevik leaders wanted them to go. I should mention also that before we get past the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, which I believe was written in 1942, is very specific that literally the mass of Eastern European Jews were totally socialist, totally Marxist, and gave themselves as a unified block to bring down the Tsar, the Bolshevik Revolution in Europe, in Russia. And while these international Jewish financiers played the monetary role, we can't whitewash the fact that the shtetls, the communities throughout Poland and Russia were a hotbed of Marxist communist activity, which proliferated out into a undermining and organizing agitation, communist agitation, all collectively working to bring down the Tsar.
Now, here's the interesting part that people have to make, they have to, you know, pay attention enough to understand why. There was a financing of Hitler, and one might ask, why would they want to do that? Well, the goal from the beginning was the formation of a Zionist Israeli state. And they needed a population. So in order to get the populations of Europe, the European Jewry to, the Zionist Jewry to move over to, their new, designated country, they needed to have, a reason for exodus.
Yes.
And what they did was they created an environment that was so inhospitable to the rank and file Jews who knew nothing of what was going on at the top. And this is the painful part for me. Many, many, many millions of people in the Jewish community were suffering at the hands of their leadership, and these people just used them as they weren't very caring about them any more than they were anyone else, were they, Ted?
No, the end justifies the means is the basic rationale of all these evil Jewish leaders.
Yeah, teleological suspension of ethical principles, I think it's called, isn't it, Ted, when you were in seminary?
Yes. What happened was a tremendous amount of Marxists came down out of Poland, Lithuania, Eastern Europe, and Russia into Israel in the 30s, in the 40s, and so on, as a result of real or imagined anti-Semitism. You see, these evil Jewish organizations realize that anti-Semitism is a very powerful tool. And if sufficient anti-Semitism doesn't exist, well, they have no compunctions against actually creating it by whatever means is necessary. So we have Polish communist leaders like Menachem Begin and Shamir and Jabotinsky, these people coming down out of Eastern Europe in the years preceding statehood in 1947 and forming secret society, secret military, paramilitary organizations capable of assassination.
Moshe Dayan and even this man that just passed was part of it, too.
Yeah, that's right. And so they are masters of working both sides of the street because they need to be moving the Jewish people toward political, geopolitical objectives. And if it involves deception, if it involves betrayal, it involves killing even their own people to achieve that kind of end, they are not reluctant to do that.
Is it possible, Ted, oddly, is it possible that they are trying to repropagate anti-Semitism in America to get an exodus of the Jewry in the United States out over to Israel as well?
I don't know about that.
I mean, let's think about that. They've done this repeatedly. They still do it in France here. In fact, when we come back, I've got a question for Ted because it makes sense. They've actually desecrated Jewish cemeteries here in France and then caught the people, and they were Jewish who did it. So when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a very important question to pose to Ted and see what he thinks about that question. Don't go anywhere. And we are back after our spot ads for our network here, ladies and gentlemen. It's Daryl Bradford Smith with you today on The French Connection, and my guest is Ted Pike. And Ted, I had a question for you regarding a possible blowback. I mean, these folks, this is the interesting thing. They have been ejected for this kind of activity over the millennia from countless countries, Spain, Russia, Germany, repeatedly for the same exact behavior. Now, are they fools, or are they? Is there something more clandestine here? Because they have to know that the American public at some point is going to discover their plan, just as they were discovered in every other country they did this to, and there's going to be blowback. And it's amazing to me to think that they could repeat the same foolish behavior over and over again through history, have the same – that's the definition of insanity, Ted, doing the same things over again but expecting different results. Now, I'm saying to you right now, is this maybe a clandestine plan to get an exodus from America of American Jewry to the Middle East? It's just a possibility here. I mean, they did it to Europe, and they used 50 million lives to do it. It's a tough question. What do you think?
Well, what we saw last October 10th more than a year ago in Philadelphia, was that the ADL, the Nazareth people, were very eager to get on with real persecution of Christians in America. And these Christians, as is well known now, were socked with 8 different charges. They were threatened with 47 years in prison just for the hate crime of witnessing to homosexuals in public. And, of course, this was the work of Lynn Abraham, who is the district attorney of Philadelphia, a top honcho in the ADL. She's a national executive board member of the ADL. Now, there is an eagerness. They revealed a tremendous eagerness at that time to move on with persecution of Christians, get established, many cases in the courts, the Christians inveigled in all kinds of huge fines and imprisonment and so on. And the problem is that, you see, the Jews in America for literally hundreds of years have discovered a paradise of well-wishing, almost indeed fanatical well-wishing and blessing upon them, such as they have never had in history. And this has gone deep into the suburban Jew, the average Jew in America, that the Christians love them. The Christians are taking every opportunity to bless them and bid Godspeed to them and never criticize them for anything. This is heaven on earth. Now, if ADL B'nai B'rith really wants to get a program of hardline persecution of Christians, getting them in jail, getting them devastated, getting the pastors' churches locked up and so on, they're going to have to find some way before too long to actually turn the Jewish people against Christians to some degree. And so the ADL is working overtime now to try to whip up propaganda within the Jewish community here in the United States that these evangelicals don't really love you as much as they profess, that they're basically closet anti-Semites, that they believe that the Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago killed Jesus, and that was responsible for the Holocaust and so
this
on.
This would fit perfectly into my thesis that they want the American Jewry to exit from America under pressure of blowback from their actions. It sounds like they're doing this intentionally, Ted.
I think that's part of it, but they also want to turn Jews more and more against Gentiles so that they can bring down this awful rate of intermarriage that's going on between young Jewish men and Gentile girls. It's close to 50% now. And this, believe it or not, this is more of a threat to the future of Jewry on the part of the leaders than anti-Semitism or even the situation in the Middle East. I mean, if your very infrastructure beneath you, which is your genetic and racial gene pool, is being subverted by intermarriage with the Goyim, then that is very threatening. So, yes, I believe there are a number of reasons why the ADL is promoting hatred against Christians and suspicion against Christians among the Jews, largely it is to create a climate, in my opinion, polarization between Christians and Jews and Jews and Christians, so that basically these Jews will start giving more and more to the ADL. They will be more supportive of Israel. They will have a tendency to come back into the fold that they have drifted out of.
Well, you know, here's the painful part for this. And we've discussed this so many times. I don't adhere tightly to religious dogma. That's what I call it. And I apologize to you, Reverend, for that statement. But I do adhere to kindnesses and friendship and loyalties and honesty and stuff like this.
Yes.
And I've got a wonderful group of Jewish friends, and I've got a powerful supporting group of people around me that I've grown up with all my life who are Jewish, and I'm having trouble squaring the circle here, because I am the least anti-Semitic person anyone could ever meet, because I don't have anything against anyone. I do have something on. Well, that's not true. I have something against criminals. And see, the way they've done this, they've used crime to do it. Not just, it's Ted, they've not just used deception. They've used massive crime, like genocide and murder and obfuscation and theft. And, I mean, I'm talking about real, awful criminal activity. And this is what I'm appalled by. Hey, if you want to do battle with me on an intellectual level, let's go. I'll let you fight me on the deception level. That's fine. That's fair game. But they have murdered, killed, destroyed lives, and this is unacceptable to me. This is criminal.
Absolutely. And there's a whole story to be told about the ADL and its involvement with organized crime, particularly the Jewish organized crime, such as Meyer Lansky and so on.
And they're still very, very much alive, aren't they?
Absolutely.
In fact, they are the mafia of mafias.
Yes, absolutely.
And you'll see that there are mafia groups within every group of people. We've got people from as far away as Dominican Republic who sell drugs, and Colombians who get involved. But above them, oftentimes you'll find either an Italian mafia, but above the Italian mafia has always been the big money people from New York, and that is Meyer Lansky.
Yes.
And that is his beginnings. Now, that relationship still is very, very much in place.
Yeah, and ADL is not shy about coercion on all Jews to give to Israel, to support them, to basically go along. And this, is, of course, is an age-old story. Even in the New Testament, we find the Pharisees coercing the people so that if anyone even associated with Jesus, let alone was a convert, he'd be put out of the synagogue.
Well, when we return, Ted, we've got another good half hour of education. We're educating the masses right now on this powerful history, Ted, and I'm proud to be doing it with you. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, more from Ted Pike. Back to the sounds of Miles Davis, as usual. I love the sounds of Miles Davis. I hope you do, too. We're talking with my friend and fellow battler here for the truth, Ted Pike, Reverend. And, geez, Ted, you know, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've got about two more long segments left here. We want to talk about today. You know, I've tried to get people to wake up to just how late an hour it is, and just how desperate things really are. And here's why, and I want to ask you this question straight up. There is a control mechanism being put in place, and it has to do with RFID chips. It has to do with technology today, with cell phone use. It has to do with a public getting dumbed down to a level of almost retardation. It has to do with a society that is on the verge of permanent enslavement. Why? Because once these mechanisms have been put in place, it will be virtually impossible for any group of people to coalesce and fight back. Why? Because they're putting in systems that will identify anybody coalescing with others in this battle. And so this is really the last shot that we're going to have of beating them. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, I feel our best chance right now, we first have to cry out to Almighty God, I believe, and if we trust in Him and put our hope in Him and repent of our national sins, I believe that God will will give a time of deliverance, a stay of execution for this nation. But we also have to boldly identify these evil Jewish leaders as those behind these Antichrist one world globalist agendas, including hate crimes legislation, which is coming against Christians and free speech advocates and talk show hosts around the world. You see, what the ADL, the B'nai B'rith people, are so afraid of when you boldly identify them as being behind, for example, hate crimes legislation, is that immediately it ties them in with the Jewish community. It makes this it's not just, you know, a hate crimes philosophy. They're not so afraid of people finding out about hate crimes and what it wants to do and even what it's done around the world. But when people find out that it's the brainchild of a Jewish international organization with presences in more than 50 countries, a Jewish religious organization, then suddenly that blows back, that hits back to the Jewish community, and suddenly the Jewish community worldwide becomes objects of suspicion and even derision, and they cry foul, and immediately they have to go back to ADL and say, hey, lay off you guys, you know, lay off brothers, going after Christians so aggressively and prematurely, because we might upset the whole apple cart here. And so, what that does, when you criticize and identify ADL, B'nai B'rith, as the cause of all this, it causes the Jewish community worldwide to be embarrassed of ADL, B'nai B'rith. We get columnists, we get talk show hosts beginning to criticize ADL, B'nai B'rith, and they're like rats in a garbage dump. When the light is shown on them, then they dive for cover. And we have especially seen this true in the big federal hate law this year that was defeated in Congress. I have been on about 200 talk show interviews in the last year and a half, pointedly demonstrating the origins, the architecture of hate laws to the American people. And what the result of that is, the ADL was not able to promote its hate law agenda in Congress as aggressively as it would have liked to. In fact, when they had the big hate bill victory on September 14th in the House of Representatives, they couldn't even boast about that. They couldn't even get national publicity. In fact, they had to do the opposite. They had to create a media blockout for the whole country, giving themselves no opportunity to take credit for that, no opportunity to garner support and momentum for the hate bill, no opportunity to enlist support from the homosexuals or the liberals in a big-time way, because they did not want people coming to my website, coming even to the Internet and looking up on Google under the title hate crimes or federal hate crimes, because those people would go to the Internet and they would find my articles dominating that subject on the Internet with my blistering exposés of the ADL and matters Jewish and so on, you see. So in my opinion, the best way out is, you know, don't complain to the networks, don't diffuse your energies. You go out in your church, in your conservative club, on the airwaves, on the talk shows, and you boldly identify where this Antichrist legislation and agenda is coming from.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Well, we actually, we're going to shift gears here. I've got a question from a listener named Chris in Chicago. Chris, you're on the air with Ted Pike.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
My question is, do you believe that one of the Rothschilds or someone else believes that this is the Messianic era now that the state of Israel exists?
Well, here's my take on it. I don't know the motivation for Rothschild trying to get that country underway, and I don't call it a country, because I'll tell you something, it's Palestine. It belonged to these folks, and they were ethnically cleansed from that land. In some cases, they were genocided from that land, and they continue to be to this day. So I don't consider it a viable and legitimate place to be called a country at all. But I don't think that the Freemasonry and everything else, I think they were, in my view, and maybe Ted has a different view, that Freemasonry wasn't always Jewish controlled, I don't believe. I think they infiltrated it as they have almost every group, including, and I'll tell you one where this is going to surprise you, one of the most vehement opponents to into Zionism, world Zionism, was Henry Ford. And Henry Ford's whole organization, the Ford Foundation, has been taken over by them. So my point to you is this. They went out and found their opponents and then took them over. And I believe,
They even have sponsored them.
Well, I don't think they were the original sponsors of it. No, I don't. I think they were ended up seeing the threat and seeing the influence and then finding a way to usurp their power and assert themselves. They've done it in the Catholic Church by actually having Jewish members claim to be Catholics and become priests.
Oh, yes, the Frankists.
Isn't that true, Ted?
Yes. Your original question was, is there some kind of expectation among world leadership, such as the Rothschilds and so on, that they are approaching the messianic era when the prophecies of Isaiah and so on will be fulfilled and they will have a world king and a messianic dominion? I believe that is very true. There are reports coming from Israel all of the time about expectations of the coming of Messiah, of a world government in Jerusalem, of the rebuilding of the temple, and so on. And the Kabbalistic rabbis, that's the rabbis who adhere to the Kabbalah and so on, are full of all kinds of prognostications. And how can you begrudge them that? I mean, it's obvious that Jewish dominance in the media, government, and finance is pretty overwhelming today.
Yeah, but Ted, they're on their heels right now, and we're knocking the tar out of them, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we've got another long segment with Ted Pike. Thanks, Chris, for that question. When we return, stick with us. We have more to come on The French Connection. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Darryl Bradford Smith coming to you live and direct from central France. You know, I misunderstood Chris's question, Ted, but in fact, part of my answer was actually correct. I understood Freemasonry out of that rather than Messianic, but the fact is, it still fits that Israel was not supposed to be a nation until their Messiah returns. And so anybody who has been transported into Israel for the specific purpose of forming a nation at this time, for that Messianic period, is doing it against the edicts of their own religion. Am I wrong in believing that?
Absolutely. The Old Testament is crystal clear. God repeatedly says in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that if the Jews do not execute righteousness and justice and mercy and live in obedience to God and their own conscience to the best of their ability, God has a perfect right to expel them from the land. And that has happened repeatedly. It happened under Nebuchadnezzar, under Sargon, under Titus, and so on. And the Old Testament is very clear also that if they do not give God that kind of obedience and justice and mercy and so on, including to the stranger and the sojourner in the land, which would be interpreted as the Palestinians today, God has every right to expel them from the land. And in the book of Jeremiah, God gave a mandate to the Jewish people when they were expelled under Nebuchadnezzar. He says, I want you to go out into the diaspora, out to your exile now, and I want you to live at peace with the nations in which you dwell, and to seek their welfare and seek their prosperity. And in doing so, he says, you will have peace. But tragically, ADL, B'nai B'rith are doing nothing but stirring up trouble, stirring up bad blood, taking away free speech in country after country, and creating worldwide anti-Semitism and possible persecution in the future against the Jewish people. So what I basically do is I take on the mantle of the Old Testament prophets in effect, and I say, this leadership, woe unto this leadership, it's evil, it's perverse, it's blind, and it'll lead the Jewish people into ditches, further ditches, as it has led them through ditches throughout the centuries.
Well, you know, you often are able to refer to Scripture in order to understand your truth about what's happening. For me, it's a simple equation, Ted. I grew up in a world where I may personally make a lot of bad choices for myself, but I grew up with a mindset that I'm a kind guy, and if somebody's mean to me, I don't deserve that. And here's the thing: if we've got a situation where a whole group of people are acting out, and it's not all Jews, mind you, it's leadership wise. are acting out in evil and cruel and mean-spirited ways against other peoples, that's enough reason there. I don't need to go into the Bible to find reasons to take my retribution.
Yeah, but the thing is, the whole Western world for the last century, the secular world has basically accepted a religious argument that God gave Palestine to the Jewish people. And the trouble with that religious argument is that it's a half-truth. God makes it very clear that unless those people are righteous and just and merciful and all these wonderful attributes, he doesn't have any obligation to give them that land or let them stay in there. You see, I have to clarify that because millions and millions of evangelical Christians believe, just like the Zionists, that obedience no longer matters. And this is a radical reversal of the biblical stand. The evangelical church for the past century has basically given unconditional support, militarily, financially, morally, to Israel, as it is doing evil, as it is stealing the lands of the Palestinians and herding them into concentration camps and shooting little children through the head and bulldozing their olive orchards and all these kinds of atrocities. The church is standing there basically holding the coat of Sharon and a very unjust government and claiming they have biblical authority to do that. That is not biblical. The biblical standard is, unless the Jews practice the kind of obedience and mercy which Joshua and Ezra and Moses and others did, they simply have no right to be in that land.
Now, here's the thing. One of my allies professes the kindness, and he said it is his duty to live in harmony with the country and that he is residing in. And this was Rabbi Weiss's words. He said this in no uncertain terms, that I am supposed to live as an honest man. And I asked him about, you know, some of the Torah's questions about being able to steal from non-Jews because they're not considered full people. He said, no, stealing is wrong. He said it's wrong in any instance. And you can't be righteous and be close to God and deserve his mercy and his blessings if you are doing the wrong thing. And I believe him when he said that. I believe what he meant it, Ted. And so what we've got here is we've got a Jewish ally here, I believe, he's got a large community, a few hundred thousand people, willing to stand up and say, no, this is not what I think is right, and no, this is not what I think needs to happen in Israel or in the rest of it, and we need to get their voice in unison with ours. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm in absolute agreement with Rabbi Weiss and others who are putting a requirement of obedience on the Jewish people in order to occupy the land of Palestine.
Well, three cheers for Rabbi Weiss, even though he's not here with us today. Hooray for you, Rabbi. Anyway, when we come back, Ted, we're going to close out the show, and I'm going to give you a chance to address my public.
Scotch and soda, but in your eyes, baby, do I feel high? Oh me, oh.
Oh boy, I love that. You know, Ted. You know, you've been on my show enough times to hear my good friend Giacomo sing that song. He's got quite a voice. What do you think?
Yes, it's very mellow.
He's a good friend. He's you know, I used to have a little jazz club at one point in my life, and he was one of the first singers I ever had there. He's a big famous guy now, but back in the day, and so it's interesting to hear Giacomo sing that wonderful song. Anyway, you know, I want to give you an opportunity to address everyone with your thoughts, your concerns, your feelings. You were my guest today, proudly. And I admire your work, Ted. You're one of my heroes, my friend, and I'd like to give you a chance to speak to the listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Daryl. One of the things I'm critically concerned about now is the proliferation of hate crime laws, hate crime bureaucracies around the world. I'm kind of a clearinghouse for reports on this kind of thing, and hardly a week goes by that I don't hear of a pastor or a free speech advocate around the world now coming under the hate crimes vengeance system whenever they criticize homosexuality or Zionist control and things like that. And what is being established today in Europe is a huge 55-member hate crimes Gestapo system called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. This is all the work of ADL B'nai B'rith. We have a Department of Anti-Semitism in our own U.S. State Department, also staffed by ADL B'nai B'rith, who are determined to make anti-Semites out of those very evangelical Christians who have supported them so much throughout the last century. And then again, we can expect perhaps the imminent reintroduction of the federal hate bill, which has been defeated now five times in Congress, that the ADL swears it will never give up until it has created a hate crimes bureaucracy in America like Canada's, taking away free speech. Now, people need to continue to focus on the hate crimes threat. And at Truth Tellers, that's www.truthtellers, that's truthtellers.org. I have a wealth of information, articles, email alerts on this subject, which have been going out about every week for the last several years. Come to Truth Tellers. We have four major videos on hate crimes and Zionist control problems, things like that. You can watch streaming video. Also, I wish more people would avail themselves of our weekly email alert. This is a dynamic three- or four-page alert. It's totally free. We have a sign-on form there where you can put down your email address. We promise we will not trade that or sell that to anybody else. But over a couple of hundred talk show hosts receive this email at least once a week. Why don't you come to truthtellers.org and get signed up and get this vital information just as soon as they do?
Well, you know something, Ted, you and I have been I don't think there's been anybody working harder with you than I am, and it's because I know the root of this problem as well as you do, and the facts are, if we don't move now, we're not going to be able to move soon. And I urge everybody to take heed of all the things you just said and really move on them. Ladies and gentlemen, Ted Pike, I want to thank you all for tuning in today to The French Connection. It's been wonderful, and hopefully we'll be doing this again sometime soon. Stick with me.